Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's a new day, yes it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
to Wild and Crazy Nights.
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
Hogan for the win.
We're in another corner.
We're going to consistently put players in position to succeed. Most important piece is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
From CHGO, it's Adam Hogue.
I don't think that this is a full rebuild, but you definitely have to retool your roster.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
Hey, what's up, Flus?
And we're going to have measurable ways for standards of performance every single rep, every single game.
Anyway, who cares?
Now, here they are, the Adams, Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. Hogan Johns with you as we preview the Bears' tough Week 5 game against the Minnesota Vikings in Minneapolis. Can't believe it's already Week 5.
You can't open every podcast with you not believing that the current week is the current week.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't. You've done it like three in a row, I think.
No, that's two. No, it's not even three in a row.
At least two in a row.
No, 2 weeks in a row on the preview episode, maybe.
Okay, fine. I'll give you that if you want to be specific.
Well, we do three pods a week. That's different. What's going on?
Nothing. No David Montgomery at practice. No Jalen Johnson at practice. Could be a week up there in Minneapolis. Could be a week.
Yeah, why even play the game at this point? Right?
Well, yeah, we have to. Kirk Cousins has to play somebody.
Yes. Well, maybe that's the hope. Your guy, Kirk Cousins, throws 7 interceptions in this game.
I got a question for you about Kirk Cousins later in this podcast.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Anyway, welcome in. Follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns. Read Johnsy on The Athletic, athletic.com/HoganJohns. You can read me at allchgo.com if you're not already signed up there. The Bears Things newsletter this week was unlocked for everybody to read, so you can check that out at allchgo.com. Merch up at obviousshirts.com. At this point, the shirt I'm wearing today is like an old school shirt.
I was going to say, that's a classic.
Yeah, it's one of the originals.
HJQ.
That's right.
Harold Jones Cordy.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Whatever happened to that guy?
I'll Google it right now. Keep talking.
He bounced around the league a little bit.
He did. He wasn't like a bad player at all.
It's not like he just disappeared.
He did play hard and fast, though. I'll give him that.
I feel like his...
He's been out of the league for a little bit. Last team was the Chiefs in 2019. He played in 2020 for the St. Louis Battlehawks, whatever that is.
I don't know what that is either.
That's it. It's all I'm giving you.
I want to say his best game was one of those games down in Tampa.
I think he had an interception.
Yeah, I think I remember writing about him after one of those games. But anyway, he lives on with a Hogan John shirt on obviousshirts.com. All right, let's jump into this, Johns. You hinted at it off the top. The injury report would... I feel like you can live without David Montgomery. I feel like not having Jalen Johnson, especially this week. Because let's just be honest. This is the best group of weapons the Bears have faced so far this season. Yes, you faced Aaron Rodgers a few weeks ago, but he didn't really have any wide receivers to throw to. You had the running backs in that game. That's got to be the closest. But they didn't really have any pass catchers that you were terrified of. This Minnesota team has two really good wide receivers, a really good running back. You've shown no way to stop the run at this point. So I think this is easily the toughest test that the defense is facing.
Jalen Johnson will be missed. Jalen Jones also missed practice with an illness, so that doesn't help in terms of preparation.
No.
The undrafted rookie who's seeing a lot of time right now. I have an over-under on Justin Jefferson's catches that we could get to later. But, like, even if Jalen Johnson is healthy, it's a tough matchup.
Well, let's talk about
regardless of cornerback. Like, the Bears could have Jalen Ramsey, and it's a tough matchup.
So Jalen Johnson's missed two games now with an injury he suffered in practice. Still not practicing as of yesterday. You got to think that the fact that they never put him on IR, that at a minimum, they're hoping he's back by next week.
Yeah.
Right? Just, I mean, you do the timetable there.
The four-week timetable.
But it was also weird how the first week he, and it probably, I'm just guessing, with some gamesmanship and a little bit of fibbing on the injury report. But the week he got hurt, they listed him as questionable for the game. And then last week, he was just DNP all week, and he was out, ruled out on Friday.
I think one thing I want to bring up on this, when you have like soft tissue injuries, one thing I've learned throughout covering the Bears over a decade now is that different regimes handle them differently. Some are more cautious. Some like to push players to see what they can handle. Maybe that applies to the Bears because Velus Jones Jr., as has been well established now in this podcast, had a setback.
Yeah.
With his hamstring injury.
Some
soft tissue things can be problematic. They can linger. Some players can fight through them faster. They're just different. Didn't Jay Cutler have he put that ART machine like on his groin?
Yeah.
To shock himself back into action. Literally shocked himself back into playing. Although I think some of that was more serious than just a soft tissue injury. We'll learn more about that later, but players are different. Regimes are different.
Some franchises tell you not even to run hard to first base.
This is not a White Sox podcast.
You can
play. Your season is over.
You can play, but don't run hard. Don't hustle.
Matt Eberflus is not doing that. He's telling you to run twice as fast as you were capable of.
Yeah, that would go against the hits principle, I think.
Yes. That would be the shits principle.
But to your point, that might be why this is a regime potentially that's a little bit more cautious. Because if you can't live up to the hits principle, then you probably shouldn't be on the field. Right?
Like, I think, yes.
Like if you also can't go 100%, if you can't hustle 100%, if you can't play with the intensity they want, then they're probably not going to put you out there.
Then don't play. Generally speaking, I do think it's a good sign when like you see the players around. When you just don't see them, when they disappear and they're always in the training room, like that's a bad sign. That's ominous. Mm-hmm. Jalen Johnson's been around. David Montgomery's been around. Just like when Roquan Smith had his injuries or was on the injury report with injuries, he was always around. But that doesn't mean they're going to play. I thought it was a positive sign for David Montgomery that he was actually going through some type of workout before last game. That's encouraging. I do think they need him. I know what you're saying with Khalil Herbert, how it's different than Jalen Johnson, but I do think that Giants game showed that they missed David Montgomery a bit too. Like, if you're going to try to keep the ball out of Kirk Cousins' hands, you need David Montgomery in this one. And right now you're looking at Treston Ebner backing up Khalil Herbert.
Well, to be honest, when Montgomery went down, I thought he was going to miss a decent amount of time anyway.
Yeah, that didn't look good.
So I wasn't really expecting him to be back at this point. And I do agree. I do think that they miss him. I just think in a game like this, when you look at the matchup, it's like, man, not having Jalen Johnson. Not being able to stop the run. This is a tough task for the Bears that they have this week. All right, the other news that came out yesterday, N'Keal Harry is back practicing. The practice window is open. He has 3 weeks to be activated off IR. Otherwise, he is out for the year. But it sure seems like at some point he will be in the next few weeks. Probably not this week, though.
No, it doesn't look like this week. Again, you're learning how different regimes want to handle injuries. We'll see. That game against New England, I would imagine, is circled on the calendar for N'Keal Harry. His former team has to get rid of that bust label, being a first-round pick. So I imagine he's going to press himself to get into back into action for that one, but that's a couple weeks away.
And then Cody Whitehair, not surprisingly, goes on IR with that knee injury. I mean, I guess the good news here is it's not a season ender. Matt Eberflus did make that clear this week. But this is still a massive loss on the offensive line because he has been your best offensive lineman so far this season.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, your offensive line, left tackle Braxton Jones, left guard Lucas Patrick, center Sam Mustipher, right guard Tevin Jenkins, right tackle Larry Borum. I do wonder if Sam Mustipher struggles as he did Sunday against the Giants. Like, if those problems continue, like, throughout the duration of this game against Minnesota, do you see some changes after this weekend? I would imagine they have to be on the table because Sam Mustipher cannot be as bad as he was against the Giants.
I'm still not sure that they don't happen this week.
You think he's lying?
Well,
see, I think he said that to get ahead of the question. You think he's
But he hasn't done that about anything.
It's true.
Lineup injury wise, the entire season, going back to the first day of training.
He's done it a couple of times, but it felt notable because those are your starters.
And then he went. If you're listening,
the Vikings know.
Yeah, and if you were listening carefully through the rest of that press conference, he was critical of the interior offensive line.
Yes, very. I asked one of the questions about the line.
So they're well aware that Sam Mustipher struggled last week. And I still can't get over the fact, Johnsy, that they signed Lucas Patrick to be the center. That's where they put him. They had Sam Mustipher at guard back in OTAs. Now, I realize
he was on the bubble. He was on my roster bubble heading into camp.
Yes, absolutely.
When you do those roster projections, I had him potentially off the team, especially when they signed Michael Schofield and Riley Reiff. I'm like, oh, this is not bode well for Sam Mustipher or even Tevin Jenkins at that point because the right guard move hadn't been made. But then you get the injury to Lucas Patrick and things opened up for Sam Mustipher. And can I give him some credit? He's filled in admirably up to the point of the trip to New Jersey. He's been better than serviceable, a tad. But I think the game against the Giants showed just how bad he can be.
Let's see where I got him at. So week one, I had him playing as a starter. Week two, zero, which means reserve. Week three, zero. Week four, you should be benched. So, okay in week one. Otherwise, it hasn't been that good. John, this conversation would be a little bit different for me if Lucas Patrick has been like dominating at guard. If you're like, man, Lucas Patrick looks so good at guard, we don't want to move him to center. But he hasn't. He hasn't been that good.
No.
So, like, that's where I'm like, get Lucas Patrick at the position you wanted him to play. And, hey, it may help the quarterback, too. Because there were multiple blown protection calls last week.
Yes.
And that's
lots and lots of blitzing.
And that ain't going to stop.
Yeah.
I blitz the hell out of the Bears right now.
Yeah. Well, no one blitzes more than the Giants. I could look up the blitz rates of the Vikings right now if you want, but
yeah, I'm guessing it's not high because, it's Ed Donatell, and the Bears didn't blitz a ton under Vic Fangio.
So they're just for the difference of blitz capacity. The New York Giants blitz 45.3% of the time. That number went up considerably after the Bears game, too. Make note of that. The Vikings are near the bottom. So that Giants number is the most in the league. The Vikings are closer to the Bears. The Bears blitz have the second fewest amount of blitzes. They're at 12.7%. The Vikings are just a tad bit higher at 18.2% blitz rate.
Yeah, I would increase that this week if I was the Vikings coaching staff.
And we know, having covered Ed Donatell and Vic Fangio, that defense is capable of dialing up different blitzes. I think a lot of times it's not that they're sending five rushers. The confusion is that they're sending, like, who is the fourth rusher?
Yep.
That's what Vic is good at. And they don't show their cards the very last second, you know, before the snap. They're very good at disguising things. So we'll see.
All right. Well, we have a very special guest coming up here in a few minutes. Longtime Hogan John's guy who shares the same name as us. Just as a little tease. But let's get through the three big questions first before we get to our guest.
Number one. Three-faceted question here. What do you think that Justin Fields, Ryan Poles, and Matt Eberflus think when they look and watch Justin Jefferson on film and then on Sunday?
Well, I
go
think
with Fields first.
Yeah, I think Justin Fields is probably like, Darnell Mooney, why can't you be that guy?
Oh, ouch.
Well, produce like that.
I think he's a bit envious. Okay, how about Ryan Poles?
Ryan Poles is like, I need to go get one of those guys.
Okay, and Matt Eberflus?
Scared to death.
Sleepless nights. Number two.
That's not cliche talk. That's real talk.
Number two. Like, okay, my thought on number one, Justin Jefferson is a true number one receiver.
Oh, yeah.
Top two, three receiver in the league. That good, that dynamic. Number two. Should we be giving Kirk Cousins more respect on this podcast? This is a serious question.
No.
Does he hit the Mike Glennon drop?
Probably not.
Kirk Cousins is what he is, man.
Can I give you some stats? The only reason I bring this up is that now you have Kirk Cousins you have the Bears operating in a system that Kirk Cousins has excelled in over the years, right? There's similarities.
Yes.
Even before Kevin O'Connell was there, Matt Eberflus would tell you. The Kubiak tree was well established there. The Kubiak Shanahan tree was already a place in Minnesota. Kirk Cousins last year, yes, the Vikings went 8-8, but he threw for over 4,200 yards, had 33 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions, had a Pro Bowl season. 2 years before that, Vikings go 10-5. He completed 70% of his passes, threw 26 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. His Vikings career, he is 36-30-1 with 130 touchdowns and 40 interceptions. I know he has his limitations, but in terms of honestly evaluating their quarterback situation against the Chicago Bears, I think Kirk Cousins has stabilized the position that has been a problem up there. I'm giving him a little bit more respect on this podcast.
Shocker. Get your Kirk Cousins propaganda out of here. The guy is what he is. He's a facilitator who happens to have a ton of good weapons to get the ball to. Good for him. But we've seen him in big games. We know how it goes.
I'll give you that. Monday nights are different than Saturday afternoons for Kirk Cousins.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. I've been through the hiring process before. It can be a pain, but LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. And at this point, 2.5 million small businesses are using LinkedIn for hiring. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/Adam. That's linkedin.com/Adam to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. Should we bring in Adam Amin for our last question here?
Sure.
We might as well. What's up, Adam?
Might as well. Happy to be here, as always, in the triple Adam formation, my friends. How are you?
This is the best formation. Absolutely. So, for those that might not know this already, Adam has a call in Minnesota this weekend with the for the Bears-Vikings game in that awesome stadium the Vikings have that maybe the Bears will build someday nearby here.
Glass windows and the glass ceiling, so to speak, the proverbial and literal glass ceiling that's Minneapolis. It's honestly one of my favorite. I know the horn is annoying. I know people are annoyed by the horn. I go in as a neutral observer and I enjoy the atmosphere that it creates. And yes, at some point, if they are moving and it feels more and more like they're moving, let's make something along those lines.
It's a spectacular stadium.
It's
really nice. And the food's really good. That's also a big plus. Like, I'm sorry. It's part of the gig. Is the food good? The food's good.
And as much as you might be annoyed by the horn, like the skull chant's actually pretty cool. Like, you got to give him credit for that.
We lay out. I try to lay out when we come back from break. I just go, let's hold the report because I want to hear and see the thing.
That's good TV right there. All right. So every week, Adam, we do this, our three big questions for the game. So we're on to number three here. So you can participate if you want. Johns, go ahead.
Sure. All right. Number three. Will the current narrative about the Bears offense, young quarterback, behind a bad offensive line with bad receivers and a first-time play caller, change after this weekend? I guess the point I'm trying to make is it's everybody else's fault right now, not Justin Fields. Will that remain in place after this weekend?
I mean, when you build it that way, when you frame it that way, it feels like there's a lot of problems, right? It's not just the Fields thing. It's not just the Getsy thing. It's not just an O-line thing. It's got to be some combination of all three of those things, right? Like, when it's framed that way, that's what it feels like. And, you know, as you guys know, my partner for now a third year is Mark Schlereth, Super Bowl winning offensive lineman. So he cares a lot about sack numbers. He cares a lot about pressure numbers and pressure protection and all that. And he goes, pass protection is a combination of things. It's play calling first and foremost. It's the offensive line having to be in lockstep with each other. And then it's also the quarterback making the right read and the timing of the receivers as well. I just came from Indianapolis and I saw Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan's one of the most thoughtful, articulate, perceptive people you're going to find to talk about the quarterback position. So when he talks about the offensive line, this is the highest paid O-line in the league right now in the Colts. And they have been dreadful in terms of pass protection. Their running backs have not been particularly good. I thought they had some okay moments against Tennessee in the game that we called, but that's the highest paid O-line letting a veteran quarterback get hurt. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean the O-line's not good? Not necessarily. Does that mean that Matt Ryan suddenly doesn't know what he's doing? No, but it's a combination of a couple of things. The play calling hasn't been on point by any means just yet for Frank Reich and Matt Ryan. He doesn't necessarily know the whole system just yet. So we're getting into a situation for him where, despite his knowledge, despite his experience, he's still messing up some of the verbiage in trying to call out protections. And at some point, he had said, I just want to yell at them sometimes, move the effing protection to the left, instead of saying alu, 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 which was his Atlanta verbiage, which meant slide protection of the left. He didn't say what his verbiage is now for slide to the left in Indianapolis, but it's different. And he forgets sometimes, and sometimes he just wants to yell at Ryan Kelly, the center, and say, slide the damn protection to the left. So this is the type of stuff that a veteran QB with a really good, supposedly, offensive line is dealing with. So translate some of that to what the Bears are dealing with right now. It's similar problems. It's not just a Bears thing. It's a problem that plagues a lot of different teams in the NFL.
I thought we were going to jump into like the electric slide there for a minute. You know,
yeah, it's going to be a lot of cha-cha slide to the left. Like he's this close. He's this close to yelling that.
Yeah. You know, and I think we've seen that with the Bears, right? Darnell Mooney runs the wrong route last week because it's the same term from the old offense.
Special.
Different route, you know? And so that we got to remember, too, that this is a new offense for the Bears, and even the good players are going to struggle with this stuff from time to time. And, you know, I think that's the thing is, too, sometimes I think we all struggle with this, but, like, it can be all of the above. It can be that the Bears don't have a lot of good weapons and their offensive line is struggling and the young quarterback hasn't been playing well. So, but to get back to the question, Johns, like I think this current narrative probably is going to continue even after this weekend. I think the last couple weeks it was more, okay, Justin's really struggling because he really did have a couple bad games there, but last week was better. So like I think as long as he plays to last week's standard, which still wasn't great, but it was better, then probably more of the blame is going to fall on the situation around him than actually him.
Does he elevate the play? Does he elevate the play call? And again, we're looking at quarterbacks around the league that have the capability of doing that, right? They get a play call, they check, they make adjustments. Justin's not there yet, and that's okay. I'm not saying that he has to be there. That's the goal eventually for him to get there, get to a point where whatever is in the offense, whatever play calls come in, for that set, whether he gets two calls and knows the right check and knows the right kill and knows the right audible to go to, or he gets one play call and makes adjustments on his own at the line of scrimmage in a, you know, long passing down or whatever it may be, because he slides the protection to the proper spot, or he moves his running back up to help chip, or he moves a hot route, or he moves a receiver to the other side to set up a defense in a fashion that he wants to. He can't manipulate the defense yet because he can't manipulate his own offense. Like, you can't let somebody love you until you love yourself, guys. I hope you know that. And this is kind of what, this is the football version of that. Until you know your own offense and have it down pat, you can't manipulate defenses. And these are all steps that every quarterback has to take over the course of their learning, their contextualizing, their development, and then their mastery of an offense. I think you guys had our buddy Carmen on the show yesterday for CHGO. And she was talking about Tom Brady and how until the bye week, they didn't really have like a real grasp of the offense. Like, people wonder like, oh, the bye week, it's good, get rest and all that stuff. Yeah, for sure. But as you guys know, that bye week is where a lot of mistakes get fixed. And the Bears don't have a bye week until what, week 14, I want to say. Yeah. So like, you don't have, like, you're absolutely learning on the fly right now until you get a Thursday night game. And then you have like two extra days over the weekend to maybe go over some stuff. There's not going to be a whole lot of ample opportunity to fix this stuff on outside of like game week, outside of real game planning stuff. So until you get him to that point where he knows this offense like the back of his hands, like Hogue, you talked about yesterday with Ohio State, you know, you let him do whatever he wanted to at Ohio State because he had a full grasp of the playbook. And again, the talent level of some of the teams, blah, blah, blah. You guys understand that. But like, he had a grasp of what he wanted to do, so his skill set shined. He hasn't gotten to that point yet where he can grasp the offense, thus letting the deep ball get thrown. He holds on to the ball too long. We know that too. The offensive line hasn't protected at a high level. We know that as well. The play calling hasn't helped him out. The receiver's timing hasn't helped him out. Matt Ryan, I'll allude to something he said the other day, and it's so simple, and I've never heard another quarterback articulate this. He said, "It does me no good if you're open before I'm ready to throw, and it does me no good if you're open after I was supposed to throw." You can get open. You can beat your corner, but if the timing of that win doesn't match up with the line and with the timing of my steps or with the timing of the pressures or whatever, it's not going to matter. It does me no good. So until I heard that, it didn't really click with me how many layers have to be in great position for a quarterback who doesn't have a full grasp of the offense to elevate the play call yet.
I think you're getting some of that. And if you look at the Bears schedule, that semi-bye is coming up. They got Washington next week on Thursday.
On Thursday, yeah.
And not only do they have, like, forget a Sunday game, then they have a Monday night game in New England. So you have a great opportunity for some self-evaluation. Like, everything you're saying, Adam, it's like a reminder that the quarterback has so much to do. Like he can control so much. Like, when he's ready, he could get his protection in the right place. He could get to his hot read faster. He could make the adjustment within the play when needed. I think, I don't know what your partner Mark thinks, but I've always thought that sack rate is a more indicative of quarterback play than the offensive line because he controls so much of that. But to your point, I don't think Fields is ready to control a lot of that right now because four games in new system, hasn't played really a full 16-game season, and he got all the moving pieces around him.
Like, I've seen Philadelphia a couple times already, right? And obviously they're undefeated. Their offense looks really sharp. Jalen Hurts has been in that system now since October of last year. Probably like mid to late October is when they really started to make this concerted effort to be more run-heavy last year and allow Jalen to do some of the things that he's really confident in, which is RPO game, pull the ball a little bit more often. We're not seeing him pull the ball as much right now through the first 4 weeks because of two elements. He's more comfortable in the offense. It's just been there for a year. He's been running the same thing. It's the first time since high school he's had the same play caller, right, for back-to-back seasons. He's got Shane Steichen calling plays. Nick Sirianni's his head coach. He looks like he's in command of checks, of protections. Now, also, he's got one of the best offensive lines in the league right now, and it's a veteran line. And so yes, let's also take that into consideration when you got Lane Johnson, who hasn't given up a sack in, four score in 7 years or whatever it is at this point. Like, he's great. Their whole line is great. So there's a factor there. But he's been in that system now for 11 months, and he's been running it in games for a while now. It's almost a full sample size of one season, and he came into the whole training camp running that same offense. And the other element to this is A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
You have a 6'3", 6'2", 6'3", legit 230, slant over the middle, is going to absorb contact from a light-hitting safety or from a light-hitting cornerback. He's going to beat guys over the top because he's got that speed. So everything that we've said, I'm sure you guys have said it, I've said it in the lead-up to the season, where it's going to be a year. You're going to have to get him comfortable. You're going to have to go get an offensive line. You're going to have to pay for it with all that cap space you're going to have next year. And you got to go get a receiver, whether it's in the draft or whether it's paying somebody to be your number one wide receiver. And until those things happen, I'm sure you guys, and I know I have said it too, it's going to be a developmental period. This is what a developmental period looks like. And I think we have a tendency as fans, and I'm balancing the fan in me too, to get ahead of ourselves and think, well, once you get through this developmental period, you know, it's only going to be 6 weeks. It's only going to be 9 weeks, 10 weeks. Not necessarily, especially with new offense, especially when you have elements that aren't playing. It's great to say our quarterback's going to develop. Yeah, under ideal circumstances. And what's ideal? You have a veteran offensive line and a legit one, number one receiver. The Bears don't have that right now. And now Cody Whitehair is on the IR, maybe their most consistent guy over the last 2 years. So there's a lot of elements here that not only Fields is trying to contend with, but the line's trying to contend with as well. They're not in lockstep. Luke Getsy is trying to contend with all of these elements. Fields is trying to contend with the line, the pressure, and with what the receivers are doing or not doing right now. Finally, Darnell Mooney had some big catches the other day against the Giants. So we're waiting for a lot of things to blossom, and we're hoping for them all to happen very quickly and for them all to happen all at once. And as Theo Epstein used to say, progress is very rarely linear when it comes to professional athletes. And that's just the situation we're in. And that's the framework that all of us came in with, and we're always going to revert back to as long as we see all these problems for Fields and the Bears.
I don't know if you've had your broadcast meetings with the Bears yet this week, but you obviously did the preseason games too. So, you have a pretty good feel for what those meetings are like with Justin Fields, with the coaching staff. You know, I sometimes hate when we get into the reading of body language and attitude and things like that.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, like in the past couple of weeks, I've heard Dave Wannstedt say it on the radio that as a coach, he does care what his quarterback, you know, the energy that he's exuding in press conferences. Trent Dilfer has said, like, I made that mistake early on in my career where I was kind of, you know, crabby and sure. you know, so I do think it matters to a point, and it is kind of a legitimate storyline to me how a couple weeks ago Justin Fields came out and was like, you know, I'm going to be more engaging. I talked to my dad about this, blah, blah, blah. And then the last 2 weeks, it's like he wants to curl up in a shell and not even be there, which is fair because I do respect, you know, people's moods and, sure, you know, things that they want to deal with on a daily basis. Everybody's living their own life, and I totally understand it. I'm just wondering what you've seen from Justin Fields in that regard and if there's been any kind of difference from even like August.
We'll get a chance to talk to him on Saturday when the team gets into Minnesota. So we'll be, you know, I'll be there on Saturday to talk to them. I felt like there was a confidence in Fields in the preseason. I'm sure when you come off, you know, the last game when they played Cleveland and you look really sharp and, you know, all that good stuff. No reason not to feel good going into the season, right? There's no reason not to feel like you've made progress. And he did. And progress doesn't mean that it's always going to lead to results. I do think there has been progress. And like you said, the game against the Giants was his best game. He finally saw some of the elements and some flashes of him being able to connect on passes, et cetera. It's the first time maybe all season we've really seen it, and it came at a loss. So in a game where they didn't score a touchdown, you know, like, we still saw progress, and you have to find – this is what it is when you have a young quarterback. He's going to think something. He's going to try to act on it. The results aren't going to be there. So naturally, when you're 23 or 24 or whatever, your first thought is, well, I guess that doesn't work. That's not necessarily the case. We're all aging rapidly as we – continue our decline.
Speak for yourself.
I am breaking down rapidly as I see, just as I speak to you. I am the weakest of the Adams right now, I think. And
when you do 100 games a week, then that tends to happen.
I'm angling towards mediocrity as I speak. We also understand that progress looks like different things. It doesn't always have to be based on results. Progress can be in the process, and I think he's probably going to have to learn that. And that's probably going to have to be his mental shift. He's probably going to have to accept that at some point. And it's hard because you have an entire fan base clamoring for you, in support of you, against you at times because they expect you to save the franchise. And it's just not there yet. And I don't want to talk about this team like they're not going to be in contention or something like that. Listen, they're 2-2. Three teams in this division have two wins or more. Most of the league has two wins. They're right there. It's not as if the schedule is going to be ridiculous going forward for the short term. I think there's something to take away from how we evaluate young players. And I'm going to look at language. I'm going to look at body language. And yeah, it does tell a little bit of the story. It tells about the current state, about frustration right now, about confidence right now, what you did literally that day. And we run into these guys for one out of the 6 days of preparation that they have, and we try to evaluate how they sound, how they feel, especially when you get veteran guys. You know, everybody's talked to Aaron Rodgers a thousand times. They've talked to Tom Brady hundreds of times. Like, what more are you really going to talk about? So you try to evaluate how he came in. What was the mood? What was it like? How is he feeling? Is he in a good mood? Like, it's hard to try to take a ton away from that. But at the same time, you have to understand that he's young. And I know I'm painting a rosy picture. I don't even think I'm painting a rosy picture. I don't even think I'm telling you it's all going to be great. I'm telling you it's how it is right now. And it's not atypical of what young quarterbacks go through at this level. And we've seen it for a long time. And I'm just saying we wanted him to be the man. And his ceiling can certainly be the man. We just wanted him to be there right away, like some prodigy. And he's not. He's learning, like every other quarterback has to. Trevor Lawrence was dealing with the same thing last year. And now Jacksonville's offense has had some really good moments in the first 4 weeks. He's also learning a new system. And yeah, you want Justin to elevate to that level. But he had a lot of the same problems. He doesn't have as many of those issues anymore. Justin is still dealing with a lot of those issues. So I'm trying to slow the roll a little bit for his sake, because I do think he's got a lot of talent, and I do think you can build around him for the future.
I'm glad you brought up Lawrence there for a second, because I was going to ask you about Matt Eberflus's place in this process. Obviously, the Jaguars hired someone with more experience, a Super Bowl winner, Doug Peterson. He knows a good offense, an offense that works. Then you have the return to the Lovie Smith era of football here in Chicago. I'm just curious your take on that, being a Chicagoan. Having been close to this team, you know, knowing what Lovie meant to this organization, now you have Matt Eberflus. Where do you think he fits in this process with, well, the culture and the Anfield's is the development?
So I think you're starting to see a shift in attitude in this city from let's lean on the 85 defense, let's be a hard-nosed, defensive-minded unit, let's only give up X amount of points per game, which, by the way, they are doing. The point totals that they've given up have not been bad. The problem has been they're giving up way too many yards in the run game, and they're hoping that they get takeaways, which last week he got some takeaways. Bojack played well. You know, Eddie Jackson's played better these last few weeks. He looks like a different guy from what you guys and what I saw last year. So there are some good moments, but the attitude is shifting away from hard-nosed defense. Let's build our entire franchise off being the lunch pail hard hat people. I don't think people want that anymore. I think that that's finally starting to be left in the rear view for a while, because forever all we did was eat off the plate of 85, right? And every time we had a good defense, it was, all right, the Bears are back. Monsters of the Midway. Here we go. You're starting to see in 2022, almost 40 years after that Super Bowl win now, you're starting to see why there's frustration, because it's an offensive-minded league. Even though offense is down right now in the NFL, across the board, offense is down. But this is an offense and quarterback-driven league. And when you haven't seen consistent offensive production for a long time, since Cutler was quarterback, you haven't seen a significant... The Bears have gone almost 400 games without a 400-yard passer. They haven't had a 400-yard passer this century. Jim Miller was the last 400-yard passer in 99 for the Bears. We haven't seen a 400-yard passing game in this century. So I think that's where the frustration is starting to come in for fans, because they look around the rest of the league and see RPO game, quick game, multiple formation offenses that can use the same personnel, big-bodied receivers that can do things that only speed guys used to be able to do, versatile guys like Deebo Samuel who can do everything and literally win games for an offense that leaves so much to be desired in San Francisco. But guess what? They have a great defense, but they also have a superstar on offense that can change your game. So Bears fans are probably seeing that, and to me it feels like the attitude has shifted from let's lean on defense, because that's what signified and personified this city and its football for three decades. I think they're starting to come around to we need offense. We need a superstar receiver. We need a superstar at quarterback eventually. We need to score points. And I think that's how the attitude overall, from my perspective as a fan to an evaluator to an observer to a combination of those things now, that's what it feels like to me, that fans want to see this franchise catch up to a lot of the other franchises around the NFL, and they're just a little bit slower doing that. I'm not saying they're not doing the right things or drafting the right players, but it's just a slower process for whatever reason for this organization than it has been for some others, and it's probably because they were eating off 85 for a long time.
So, Johns, we're in a unique perspective this week with our Thursday guest, because you know, we do these over-unders every week, and typically one of them has to do with the broadcast, and now the guy called in the game.
You have to hear. This is insider trading. This is that version of it.
Yeah, except it's not really a real over under,
right?
You know, so it's not like we're breaking gambling laws or anything here. But I see Johns does have down on a rundown Rams/Packers same tree references between Kevin O'Connell and Luke Getsy, and he sets it at 1.5.
Give us so, two.
You want two? You want at least two references to how these guys connect?
Because I was going to take the under here, but I don't know.
How many wide zone references can we make to the Shanahan tree, right?
Like, yes.
And of course, who am I working with? My guy, Schlereth.
There you go. There's one right now.
He was a Mike Shanahan guy. He knew Kyle Shanahan.
He knows this offense.
So it might not be from me. So if I'm not giving you this is an inside info. We talk over unders and we say, hey, here's why I think they'll hit the over this week. Here's why I think it'll hit the over this week. It may not be me. If you're in fantasy and you got a back and a receiver, the back may not get you the points, but the receiver might. So I think Schlereth is the receiver in this case.
Good point. I might have to switch to the over on that one. and then one more. Hogan John's podcast references on the broadcast.
I'm sending it at a half. Send it at a half. You're gunning for the over here, huh?
Yeah. Not asking for anything. Just, you know.
Well, you know, just throwing it out there. If the conversation of coaching trees come up, be like, I had this great conversation with the guys in Hogan John's.
Well, here's. I think the conversation about. I think it was a great question. about just how it's changed, about like how my attitude's changed, about how like the perception of the organization is gone. Again, I'm not saying these are bad things or good things. I'm saying this is how it feels. This is what the perception feels like, that the frustrations come because they don't score. This is a bad offense right now. And I'm not saying it's going to be forever or for the rest of the season, but right now, stacked up against the rest of the league, it's not a great offense. So I think that's where some of the consternation comes, even though there's 15 teams that have two wins. Half the league has two wins, and you're in that half of the league, and that's okay. There's one undefeated team. There's like seven teams that have three wins. It's not like anybody's running away with this just yet, and offense is down across the league. So at worst, the Bears are on par with a lot of the league right now, and I know that's never where you want to be, but it's a lot better than being where you might be, considering the rest of the schedule, rest of the league, your division right now, which is pretty competitive. It's been a pretty good NFC North so far. Even with Detroit losing three games, their offense is pretty good. So I know there's a lot to parse through, but I don't think we're the cloud, you know, the sun's setting on the season in week five by any means.
It's parity, right?
And that's like, that's why this sport is perfect. Look, why look, everybody like, loves this thing.
And like the Lions, like this cracks me up. This is the most Lions stat of all Lions stats, right? What are they averaging? Like 35
a game or something?
And they're allowing what, 35.3?
They're allowing like 35 a game. Yeah. That like I saw them week one, 38-35 game. You watch them last week, 48-45 against Seattle. Like that's what the Lions are right now, man. Would you rather be in that position? Would you rather have an offense with a quarterback that's good, maybe not elite, but good, but a defense that can't do anything?
Well, you know, what I would say, I think that's a good question, Adam. And the way I would answer that is, you know, from a Bears perspective, yes, I'd rather have the offense established and then have to fix the defense than the opposite way
around.
And
that is an attitude shift, my friend. That is not how Bears fans thought for a long time. They said, as long as the defense plays well, we'll figure out the offense. And that's how the attitude, just in the last 10 years probably, has started to shift away from that mentality. No, we need to score. You have to score in this league to win. You can win on defense for sure. And I know the defense wins championships mantra. I don't think that will ever go away. I do think it has a lot to do with who steps up. And defenses have a tendency to play up because of the speed that they play at come playoff time. They can still just run and fly to the football. That's why defense is typically play better come playoff time. But you're seeing that attitude shift. Defense wins championships, yes, but you have to score the points. And scoring points keeps you in games, and it keeps you in a season, and it keeps you alive to make a playoff run. And until we see that attitude is going to maintain amongst fans right now in Chicago, and I don't blame them.
Adam, you're the best. We'll let you go. I have to say, though, that you know these weeks get pretty stressful and busy. My favorite part of the week was having you and Stacy back in my living room on Tuesday night with that Bulls preseason game.
Just thanks, boys. It was awesome.
Yeah. It was fun hearing you guys again.
It was awesome being back. And I'm glad you guys had a good time, man. Seriously, that's what we're here for. We got another one Friday, and then we'll go call some Bears.
All right. Awesome, man. There he is, Adam Amin. Enjoy the call this weekend, Bears Vikings, and safe trip to Minnesota.
Thanks, boys. Always a pleasure to be part of the Triple Adam formation.
Thanks, Adam. Is.
Adam Amin. Let the record show. He changed the subject so fast when I asked for the Hogan Johns over under.
We're going to get one. I gave him the perfect setup, I feel like.
Yeah.
Talking to these great dudes named Adam.
But you know what I love about him is like that's how he does some of his prep. Like he's watching CHGO yesterday. He's a longtime Hogan Johns guy. We love him. He's the best. And of course, calls all the Bulls games with Stacey King. And that is entertaining. A lot of times the Bulls are entertaining. I still like watching the Bulls right now. Hopefully they can string together a full season, unlike last year when things kind of fell apart. But
they gotta need a certain guard to get over his injuries.
True.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. Let's we two more over under since it kind of included one of them in there.
No, I like that. Well done. All right, here quickly. Catches for Justin Jefferson. I got him at 9.5. I do think establishing the Vikings run game will not only lead, forget the naked bootlegs for Kirk Cousins. The play action game is going to open up Justin Jefferson. So how many catches he got? I got it at 9.5.
I'm going to take the under.
Ooh.
And trust Nine? Me, he's on my fantasy team, so I hope it's over. So this is clearly an unbiased take here. But I'm going to take the under for two reasons. One, if I'm the Vikings, I just run the damn ball all day and, you know, move on to next week. The second is, I think, like, if I'm the Bears, especially if Jalen Johnson's not playing, they got to try some, like, you know, bracketing.
I was just about to use that word, bracket him some form of double coverage.
I might end up being Adam Thielen, who has the bigger day in terms of touchdowns and in total yard. I still think Justin Jefferson probably has a...
I'm talking
6-7 catches still. He's going to get one big 30-yard catch at some point.
I would say like a 50-yard catch. I could see it now. Like Cousins likes to go deep. And again, instead of that bootleg where Jones runs all day, Cousins is going to stand back there all day and go deep to Jefferson, who's going to have like 5, 6, 7, 8 yards of separation. Yeah. And then it comes down to tackling. All right, final over under. There we go. Catches for Darnell Mooney. He broke out last game with a few. I got it at 4.5 in this one.
What did he finish, 3?
I think it was 4. I have it right here.
Oh, he had 4 the other day.
Hold on.
I'll take the over. I think they continue to do that. I also...
4 for 94, 5 targets.
Here's the thing. The Bears are probably going to be trailing in this game. Like, I think they're going to have to throw the ball a little bit more. So I'll take the over on that. I'll take, you know, let's say 6 catches.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Some fantasy owners aren't happy.
What do you got on that one?
I was going to go over 5.
Okay.
I think they make a concerted effort to establish him again.
What else? Go ahead. I'm listening.
All right. We got to get to picks and then.
What's your bold prediction in this one?
Bold predictions.
Does Darnell Mooney catching 6 passes count?
Yes.
Okay, there it is.
I'm going back to Cole Kmet touchdown.
Oh, man. It's been a long wait.
Like, eventually, like, I was watching my son.
They don't throw the ball in the red zone ever, though.
I know. Pat Finley had, like, a stat. There's, like, 40 plays of between run or pass and pass that happened in the red zone for them or something like that. I'm completely botching that stat, but it's not a good stat.
What did you just say? 40 plays?
There's a duration between passes in the red zone for the Bears that's...
Yeah.
Quite elongated. I forget the exact stat. Our friend Patrick Finley has it, but it doesn't sound good. He asked that question to Justin Fields yesterday, and Justin Fields wasn't having any of it. But
Justin Fields just did not want to be there yesterday.
I woke up this morning and my sons were watching the highlight packages that Hulu puts together. It's like bang, 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 like 3 minutes each, right? Just the highlights. And
for the Bears, how'd they get 3 minutes?
No, for the entire league. So smart guy over here. What's that? George Costanza. Funny guy right here. Where is that? There we go. Where am I pointing? There we go. Right there. You got Kenny Pickett. He threw 3 interceptions, but he's completing passes. Zach Wilson in like a second game back, he's completing passes. Jared Goff looks like he's Jared Goff from the Rams again. You get like guys across the league completing. Cooper Rush completing passes. Like, eventually Justin Fields has to complete some passes, right?
Yeah.
Eventually. It just has to happen. It has to happen. Geno Smith is, like, completing 80% of his passes. I want to bring that up with you, by the way, because you bashed
Geno Smith thing's crazy.
You bashed him last week. Then he went, like, 29 for, like, 31 and beat, the Lions. Well, it's the Lions.
They're playing the Lions.
Still did it.
He does outrank like even Tom Brady in a lot of stats right now.
In completion percentage. He's got over 1,000 yards passing in four games. Like, that stuff's happening. Justin Fields could pass the ball. It's got to happen sometime.
Does Justin Fields have 400 yards passing through four games?
Want it? I'll break it up. You really want it?
Well, here, let's... Yeah, that's not that hard to find.
I got his season stats, actually, like, in chart form. Oh, I don't have the chart up right now. Let's see if I can find it real quick.
He's at 471 yards.
Geno Smith has doubled that.
And his completion percentage is 50.7.
Not good. Not good. Fox, noon. Bears of Vikings. Vikings minus 7.
Yeah, I'm taking the Vikings, and I am taking the Vikings to cover.
What do you got for a score?
Thirty-one to 17. Vikings win.
See, I do think somehow the Bears will manage to keep this score close, but they still lost to the Giants by two. I'm thinking like 16. Well, that's the Bears total. Say 24-16 Vikings. 24-16. Really? So you get the cover. Cairo Santos comes back, kicks a few field goals. Cole Kmet gets his touchdown. 24-16.
And it's on to Washington. Okay.
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment. Micah, back.
Let's get to some other games. Another London game. The Green Bay Packers making their international debut. No idea how they managed to worm their way out of going out of America all these years, but they are the last NFL team to play an international game. It's their first trip to London, and the Giants, who the Bears just saw, will be there. Giants, Packers. Packers are an 8-point favorite. Same warning as last week. This is an 8:30 Central Time game, so make sure your fantasy lineups are set, especially those of you listening on the West Coast, because 6:30 really in the morning. Yeah, that is a 6:30 start for you.
Do it while you're at the bar on Saturday night. Watching some college games. That's what you do.
And if you're in Hawaii, that's a 3:30 start.
Don't even bother.
Plus, you got to wake up.
I got the Packers by 10. Packers by 10.
Yeah, I agree. I think like last week, I was hesitant. I ended up correctly picking the Patriots. To cover, because it's just like Bill Belichick. I didn't think they'd go to overtime. But this week against the Giants, like, I don't think the Giants are that good. What's their quarterback situation? Also,
Daniel Jones was back. He practiced this week.
Okay. By the way, you are now up to, I meant to tweet this out because people need to know this beyond just the podcast. You are now 17-8 on the season.
I'm good.
Thanks to Nick Villarreal, who's been keeping track of it. Keep them coming, because I do not have time to do that.
I got to reply to his DM. Thank you, Nick. I know you're listening. Thank you.
I appreciate it. And so you went 4-2 last week. I went 3-3. My record's 13-12, which, you know, against the spread, you take a plus 500 record.
Yeah, you're winning.
But you're just killing it. You're Geno Smith. You're completing 68% of your picks.
So we got the Vikings, and we're taking the Packers to cover their 8. I like them by 10 or more.
Packers, yeah, I think so too.
You know, we're trying to expand his package.
Has he struggled with expanding his package?
That is the Colts PA announcer.
Yeah, the Colts PA announcer expanding his package. He is expanding his professional package. Now he's doing PA down in Indianapolis, J.J. Stankovic.
Also known as the Colts, Larry Mayer. Ooh.
Not anymore.
No, he has surpassed that.
Larry Mayer's not doing the PA at Soldier Field.
Could you imagine?
Throwing in some one-liners.
Movie quotes.
Yeah. Fox Noon, Lions at Patriots.
Take the over, number one. I'm sure it's high anyway.
Patriots are Yeah, but the problem here, this is an interesting matchup because the Patriots are 3-point favorites. You would think that'd actually be higher. But they have Bailey Zappi at quarterback.
Again, Bailey Zappi is throwing the ball all over the field. Like, I don't care who your offensive line is. Like, sometimes, like, Bailey Zappi is producing.
I'm going to take the Lions to bounce back this week.
Yeah.
I think they're still going to be able to score, and I think it's going to be hard for the Patriots with their quarterback situation to actually keep up.
Well,
I wouldn't be surprised if the Lions win out this game.
See, I'm going to pick the Lions to cover, but I could see Bailey Zappi. Is that his name, Bailey Zapp?
Zappi, I believe.
Zappi.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots win by, like, a field goal at the end, not for the push, but for like a 2-point win.
Pool reporter Adam Hodge.
Hoge.
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 Hodge.
Hoge.
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 Hoge. Hoge. Hoge. Hoge. His interview with referee Tony Corrente.
See, if Adam Amin did give us a shout out on the broadcast, he would have to keep the tradition going by pronouncing my name wrong.
Yeah.
That'd really be the only way
what
to do
it. What would you prefer? Hoagie or Hoge?
Well, the best of all time is Les Grobstein calling me Adam Hogg.
Yeah.
When I worked at the outlet and regularly talked to him.
Hogg, like the animal?
Yeah. But that was the inside story on that was an actual Ron Burgundy moment because the producer purposely spelled my name on the screen, H-O-G. And he read it as Adam Hogg.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
That is a Burgundy. Les Grobstein.
All right, Fox 325, it's Eagles at the Cardinals. The Eagles are a 5-point road favorite. The Cardinals were able to bounce back last week, win in Carolina. The Eagles have been rolling. This is kind of a tough game to pick. What do you got?
Eagles win, Cardinals cover.
Yeah, I kind of lean in that way too.
5-point home dogs. Eagles are the better team. They should win. The Cardinals should be able to cover that.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cardinals to cover too. And at some point, like the smart play in the NFL is like kind of to fade teams, like almost pick the opposite of what you think should happen because it's the NFL and it just gets crazy. So I think this could end up being a closer game, but it's hard to pick the Cardinals actually win. So I'm not going to go that far.
Let's pound the ball right up their ass. Knock on wood if you're with me, man. All right?
Why is ass bleeped in that?
You cut it.
Did I? It's from Hard Knocks, so it wouldn't have been bleeped on the show. Maybe I did that.
Oh,
Fox 325. What?
Ken's explaining it in the private chat. Maybe we won't say that either.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see why. Okay, that makes sense. All right, Fox 325, Cowboys at the Rams. -5.5. The Rams are favored in this game.
Rams win, Cowboys cover.
I'm surprised this is so much, right? I mean, Rams coming off a loss. Cowboys, I mean, Cooper Rush has been playing pretty well.
Yes.
Mark Cartman has adopted Cooper Rush as his quarterback. He thinks he's better.
He just likes like the backup.
Yeah,
QB.
Josh McCown types.
He's the official McCowney fan president.
Cooper Rush probably going to have a very Josh McCown career.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Cowboys here.
Forever.
The Cowboys have been finding ways to win.
To win?
No, I still think the Rams will win, but 5.5 is too many points for me.
Yeah, Rams win, Cowboys cover. Here comes the weekly coffee burp.
Three weekly? You did it Tuesday. You do know this podcast happens 3 times a week, right?
Semi-weekly. Yes, it does.
I just want to make sure you know that.
Chris, Matt Nagy has always been kind of the past half full kind of guy.
It's one of the greatest ones of all time. NBC on Sunday night, 7:20 p.m. Bengals at Ravens. This is a good game. Did I lose you on that?
No, the soundbite gets better. Like, you know, like if Matt Nagy's always been kind of an ass.
Ass half full.
Anyway, Great game. Potentially the best game of the weekend. I kind of like the Bengals winning outright here.
Ooh. They did bounce back last week. They are a pretty good team. I think the Ravens at home, though, is too tough.
Okay.
Night game. Hang on, let me look up one thing here before I commit to this. Since now we actually have the pressure of people keeping track of what we're actually saying on this podcast.
See, you just have to go with what's working for you. Now you're gonna overthink it.
No, I'm not gonna overthink it. Yeah, I'm gonna take the Ravens.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean you can't take out the game they blew to Miami because they did blow it, but they were killing Miami in that game before things got out of hand. They had a good win against the Patriots last week. I mean, I still think the Bills are really, really good. So they end up losing that game. I think they bounce back with a win. Sunday Night Football, even with the 3 points, I will take the Ravens.
Okay.
Boom. All right. Fun show. Always good to have Adam Amin on here. Appreciate him jumping on his busy week. Couple Bulls games, and obviously going to Minnesota this weekend for Bears Vikings. And you can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, at Adam Johns. Coverage, plenty of it on The Athletic, theathletic.com/HogeandJohns, all CHGO.com as well. We will be back Sunday post game to wrap it all up. Bears, Vikings, man. I don't know if it's going to be pretty. Maybe a little surprise. Maybe we'll have a surprise Sunday fun episode for you. I don't know. Tough
we'll
matchup,
see.
Though. We'll see. All right. Any final thoughts?
Always? No.
No.
There you go. Talk to you Sunday.
See ya.
You know, we're trying to expand this package.
Has he struggled with expanding his package?
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.